This is Barry Reichenbaugh with the NOAA Research Communications Office, and I'm in Norman, Oklahoma at the National Severe Storms Laboratory with Doug Forsyth. Doug, can you tell me what it is you do here?
Well, I'm Chief of Radar Research and Development for the National Severe Storms Lab, and I've also been the Program Manager for the National Weather Center building project, but that's kind of coming to an end, so I'm reverting back to concentrating more on my Chief of Radar Research and Development here.
Let's talk a little bit about that. What types of radar research is done here at the National Severe Storms Lab?
Well, we're actually doing research on various frequencies or wavelengths. We've concentrated in the past mainly at the 10-centimeter, also called S-band frequency of wavelengths of radars. And we started back in the early days, I guess, in 1962 when we had a weather radar lab here and wasn't really even called the National Severe Storms Lab. And then in 1964, we became the National Severe Storms Laboratory and moved to Norman and combined with that weather radar lab. But we were looking at the WSR 57 at that time and how we used it and doing research with it. And over time, we started looking at Doppler weather radar, and in the late 60s, we actually acquired a Doppler weather radar. It was a excess radar that came from the Air Force, had worked in the dew line, basically, and it was an S-band radar also, 10-centimeter, but it had this Doppler capability, so we started looking at the Doppler capability and what it could do for identifying severe weather. It came operational in 1971, the Norman Doppler, and in 1973 we actually got a second Doppler system running at Cimarron, which was about 25 miles to the northwest of our Norman location. And that gave us the capability to do dual Doppler, and we were the first folks to actually do that kind of research of looking at, if you recall, Doppler radar only measures winds coming towards and away from the radar. So we really only get a signature of what's going on as far as what's going on in the wind field. And by using dual Doppler, you could actually get two looks at it, and by combining that information, you can actually figure out the true wind. So then you get a real wind field and being able to map that, and that's what dual Doppler gave us the capability to do. So that was a new thing for NSSL, and over time we saw signatures that were of rotating thunderstorms or called mesocyclones, and that's really what got us into moving this technology to the National Weather Service. And in about 1977, they ran a program called JDOP, the Joint Doppler Operational Project. And I became part of that. I was in the Air Force at the time, but I became an Air Force person that came down here and actually worked in JDOP to kind of prove these concepts and to the public and to the National Weather Service that Doppler radar really was an advantage and that we ought to put that on the fleet of radars out there. And that led to the WSR 88D, which is our operational radar today. Over that time, we've also worked on improving that radar. We've improved algorithms on that radar. I wrote the original tracking algorithm that was on the radar that actually tracked cells, and that's long gone by the wayside with the research we've done, but we've improved algorithms over time. Building up, we're continuing to do that and looking at new advantages, and I'll tell you about a few of those in a moment, but we have gotten into other wavelengths of radars and studying the use of those, and mainly with our mobile radar program called the SMART-Rs, and we've done that at X. We started off at X-band and then went to a C-band system. C-band is about 5 gigahertz in frequency, and it's able to look at smaller particles, really, but it has more attenuation than the S-band radars do. So it has a capability that you're looking with a finer beam width normally for the size of the antenna, so it's capable of being mobile, much more capable of being mobile than an S-band system is. Then we are now also building an X-band dual polarized system, and I'm going to talk about dual pole in a minute, but we've gotten into these other frequencies of looking at how they might contribute to our understanding of severe weather.